Lots going on in pop culture this week. We had another week of opinions, experts, open line, wisdom, and hot takes. It's that time to bring together our dynamic duo to help explain the week that was. It's time for The Wrap.
Goodbye now is over.
That's all. Thank you.
All right. That's a wrap.
It's Friday, and this is The Wrap on the Jazz Johal Show.
Thank God it's
Well, this week we look at federal public servants being ordered back to work and no Michelin star for you. Our wrap panel discusses their worst restaurant experience. Joining us today is our regular wrap panel. Leah Halib is a TV reporter and radio host, and Sarah Daniels is a real estate agent in South Surrey. She is an author and broadcaster. Leah and Sarah, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, kids. How are you?
Very good. Half an hour to go. We're all going to be done. So let's focus on the issue of the moment. We're here. I'm here at work. You guys are working from home. Well, let's talk about the public service just for a moment. The federal government says repercussions for public servants who refuse to return to in-person work will be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. Starting Monday, all federal employees who are still working from home will begin the transition back to in-person work. Treasury Board President Mona Fortier announced last month that all departments must bring workers back to the office at least 2 to 3 times a week by the end of March. Leah, let me start with you first and foremost. What do you think of this? There seems to be a tug of war, a fight between the employers and employees. Do you think this is the right thing to do, ask federal employees to do it the old-fashioned way, which is come back to the office?
Well, I mean, I think people working from home really tend to be getting more work done, because I think when you're at home and you're working, you're thinking, if I don't get this done, the work's not going to get done. And I think people that are going to the office, they're kind of slacking off more. You know, like I remember when I go to an office, I'd be like, eh, I'm going to go get some water. I'm going to go chit chat with so-and-so, see how their weekend was. You know, you kind of killed more time because you were around people. So I think making them come back to work is kind of sucks, because I think they'll get more work done at home. That's just what I've noticed, and I've noticed with myself, but I mean, I could be crazy about that. But I mean, they'll save money. They don't have to pay for as much electricity, right? Mm-hmm. And all the office supplies. So I don't know. If it's 2 days, okay. But I mean, if it's like 3 days, 4 days, what's the point then? You know, you might as well have them back full time.
Sarah, your thoughts on this? You're a real estate agent, so you do have an office, but you're out and about a lot. What do you think of this get back to work order from the federal government?
Well, first of all, never give Leah an office job, because that's pretty much just a notice to employers, because that's going to suck. It's hard to say, because I used to go into the office all the time, and a lot of people in my office don't. And I moved offices just before the pandemic started. The new office that I'm in, we're actually kind of separated from the main area, so I can't really socialize as much as I would normally. Mm-hmm. And part of that is actually good, because you know, in real estate, you do want to actually keep in touch with people, talk to people, find out what's going on, all that kind of stuff. It actually behooves you, because we're all individual contractors, to keep up with what's going on in the office. But having said that, I mean, city halls have tried this before. I remember we've talked about this before. Vancouver City Hall tried to go to a 4-day week, which is all great for everybody that's working the 4 days. But for the rest of us that are trying to maybe get like a permit from City Hall or pick up a decal or something like that, it's not going to work. I mean, clearly paramedics can't work from home. I mean, that would be kind of odd. Same with firefighters, police officers.
Doctors.
You know, most federal workers actually do have to work to a certain extent from home, or rather from outside of the office, like outside of the home. Mm. Things like, I mean, maybe Revenue Canada people, though I have to say that was weird when I had to phone Revenue Canada during the pandemic and they say, we're going to route you through to somebody's cell phone. And I'm thinking, I'm talking to a federal employee about my taxes on their cell phone.
You better, and they're on their patio.
Weird.
You better bet they're in their pajamas too. I'm calling it right now.
Well, I mean, I don't care what they're wearing, but I kind of get freaked out about the fact that they've got my home and they're using their home number. Cell phone number.
I'm
to
sure they're
talk. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it was interesting. We did a segment earlier today with Jeff Mason. He is a labor and human rights lawyer. We're looking at Boston. Software, which is the rise of this software. Yeah, basically spyware. And so this woman sued her company. She's an accountant. and for $5,000 for unpaid wages. And when they went to this tribunal, maybe she didn't realize, or maybe she didn't realize the software was so good. The company said, well, wait a minute. You billed us for 50 extra hours than you shouldn't have, because according That's to crazy. The software, you did nothing. And to my understanding in the evidence, there was also evidence that said, well, you had Disney Plus on as well.
So, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Could you imagine lawyers would freak out? Yeah, well, would think freak about out about this.
No,
kind
so
of
she's
stuff.
She's now had to, has to pay her employer, former employer, $2,600. So not well, not only she's got so
could they tap into your camera and then see that you're not
no,
working?
But
like,
just
what
based,
else could they do?
Based on
you know?
Your
like,
based
crazy.
On clicks, where you are,
they, in, yeah.
because that laptop oh, is not
creepy.
Your property, their property. And yeah. if you want to watch Disney Plus, maybe use your own laptop. They can't
maybe
keep an eye
your
on
own.
That. Yeah,
so, well, you're on the other
but
one.
But do you? But do you? I think there's a point there. Like, I mean, if I'm not, and she may not be representative most, and a lot of folks have gotten used to this lifestyle where, you know, you can drop your kids off at daycare, you're not commuting as much, you're not using gas, as Leah said, but you gotta think. There's a lot of abuse out there, Leah, don't you think? When people oh. at home, you can't keep an eye on them. I just True. Don't, I personally don't believe people are more productive. I get the daycare issue. I get the not wanting to commute. Perhaps you're more efficient. And there's going to be a lot of those people, right?
But do you think that people at the office are 100% working too? You don't think that they're like texting and they're watching quickly on something and then you walk in the room and then they click it off?
Sure, computer, but the bosses
right?
bosses are around. They're keeping an eye on that, number one. And I think there is a value, to tell me if I'm wrong here, Sarah, of, and certainly in our business, maybe it's a bit unique, but in the sense that that camaraderie, picking oh. up conversations, mm. we've done stories just based on you know hearing bits and pieces of conversation once in a while. It's been really really good segments we've produced. I think that's part of it as well, isn't there? There's a corporate culture that you want to sustain as well.
Well, I think it's just healthy too to get out and see people because I mean, God knows during the pandemic, I you know would make conscious effort just to get out because I mean I was talking to the dogs and weirdly enough they could not answer me, so that was when I realized I need to get out and get you know some socialization, and I mean again luckily my job does require going places and actually meeting with people, but I mean certainly I you know I do miss and I funnily enough was talking to some people in my office today about this. And one of them, who's a very successful realtor and leads a team in my office, mm-hmm. he said he feels more productive coming into the office every day because he, you know, he can concentrate, all that kind of stuff. It helps that he's got three young kids, so he probably is trying to get the hell out of the house.
That's the point. But, he has three young
but,
kids.
I mean, that's, but, you know, I mean, they're older now. But nonetheless, I think that he sort of finds that he can focus more. He's much more productive when he's in an office setting as opposed to, you know, maybe wandering down the hall with a bowl of Wheaties and going, oh, I wonder what's on ESPN.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I think the flexibility is great for employees, but I do think there's going to be a great push by employers in 2023 to get folks back to work, not just federal.
You know who? I'll tell you who's really going to be pushing for it. It's going to be commercial realtors because there's going to be a lot of commercial space going up for lease otherwise. And
that's true,
on a
yeah.
totally different note, I mean, there's been stories in the news about places like downtown Victoria, Vancouver, that are a lot quieter now because people aren't working from home. It's affecting retailers.
Yep.
Good Lord, what am I trying to say? And businesses downtown because there aren't the same amount of people coming into the downtown.
Yeah, exactly. The foot traffic just isn't there. So it's going to be very interesting how things roll out in the next few weeks on the federal employee side. Well, coming up next, our wrap panel will share their worst restaurant experience. That's next on 980 CKNW. Hey, welcome back. If you're just joining us, we are speaking to our wrap panel, Leah Halive. She's a TV reporter and radio host, and Sarah Daniels, a real estate agent in South Surrey. She's an author and broadcaster as well. Now, as you know, this week we have been giving away gift cards to Dine Out Vancouver and to some great restaurants as well. We've been hearing from you as well. You've been sharing your stories of your most memorable meals and meals here in the U.S. I think one caller we had from Japan calling about a great great meal that they had in Tokyo. So some great stories. And like I said, we've given away some gift cards to some great restaurants here locally. But in the competitive food industry, every restaurant needs to be on top of its game. That we know. But there's also, but that's also why the most memorable dining experiences can also be the worst experiences ever for some. From undercooked food to lousy customer service, many a meal has been ruined. I'm sure everybody has a story. So I thought we'd hear from our wrap panel in regards to their worst meal at a restaurant. Let me start with you, Leah. Is there a particular meal or particular restaurant? I don't know if you want to mention the restaurant, but a particular meal that you really didn't enjoy.
Okay, I have another story I have to say, and Sarah will like it too. But for the worst meal, I just had it recently.
What?
It was a Christmas party. Yeah, so we went out for Christmas, and I went to this restaurant. I won't name it. It was in a casino. And I ordered, because I'm the vegetarian, a tofu bowl. So I get the tofu bowl, and it's one server for 35 of us, okay? So I'm eating it, and I'm like, what's – yeah, I know. And I'm like, what is missing here? Well, there was veggies. The tofu wasn't the greatest, but there was no teriyaki sauce. I looked at it, and I thought, should I pour my wine in it just to moisten it a bit? Because I was choking on it. I couldn't swallow it. So I had to pull the server aside, and I'm like, hey – can you get me a cup of teriyaki sauce? And she looked at it and she's like, oh my God, somebody forgot it. I'm like, okay, thanks. So that was just this Christmas, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And then a quick other story. I don't know if you remember the Pearl, but there in White Rock called the Pearl. Loved it.
Yeah,
this is
great.
Years ago. And I know you know this, Sarah, because I was sitting there a long time ago and I heard somebody laughing and having a great time. And I'm like, I know that laugh. I turned around and guess who it was? Miss Sarah Daniels.
Yes. Well, why didn't you say hello, you jackass? For heaven's sake.
Because we didn't know each other then. This was a long time ago.
That wouldn't have mattered. I would have just thought that maybe I didn't know. He would have been mortified and tried to play along.
No, I was like, she's having such a freaking good time. I love this woman.
There you go. Sarah, how about you? Is there a particular moment where you just didn't enjoy the experience or a particular meal?
Well, the fact that I have the palate of a 5-year-old boy, really
macaroni and cheese.
I'm a woman of very simple taste. Like literally, I mean, I have popcorn for dinner. My dogs eat better than I do. So it's usually not about the food. It would have to be pretty outstandingly crappy. I can't think of anything that catches my mind. It's usually not even the restaurant personnel. Like, I mean, in a bad experience, because like Leah said, a lot of these places are understaffed right now and you've really got a feel for them. And, you know, they're doing their very best. It's usually other people in the restaurant, like people that let their kids crawl all over the place and throw food. I had once a confrontation with people that were sitting about two tables away from me. They were younger, bunch of guys, and they were making racist comments about the waitress and to the waitress. And I got up and I was like, basically, blankety blank, 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 and get your blank and blanks out the blank and door, and spoke to the manager. And like, people were actually thanking me afterwards. But that's because I am a bull in a china shop at the best of times. And I do not put up with that kind of crap.
Good
so
for you.
So usually something like that in a restaurant, that it's to do with the ambiance in general, like that somebody or something is going on that's really unpleasant. It's, for me, like, honestly, like, you know, as long as it doesn't have a pulse, I'm fine.
Yeah, you have those customers sometimes that are, you know, they're loud. Sometimes they call them new money, people who look like they've made some money. They're just throwing cash around, and they treat the staff there as servants and just disrespectful, condescending, and most important, just loud, you know, looking for attention, which is really, I don't
like wanna... There was some girl in Pearl Restaurant in White Rock, and she was laughing so loud. I could not enjoy my meal. And guess who it turns out it was?
She was fantastic, I tell you.
There you go. Leah, Sarah, thank you so much for your time. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You guys too.
All right. See you. That's Leah Halab. She's a TV reporter and radio host. And of course, Sarah Daniels is a real estate agent in South Surrey. She's an author and a broadcaster. They are part of our wrap panel.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.